These certainly are difficult times for everyone, and the virus coming so close this past week really brought it home to me. But then I also think of people in other places, even the land of Jesus, where the virus is, of course, there's no boundary to get there. And at this time of year in particular, they are suffering not so much from a high number of cases, but from the economic loss at this time, as they depend, the Christians especially, on pilgrims going to the Holy Land, to the holy places, and spending their money. I had known about this challenge of the dwindling number of Christians, and months ago, before the pandemic even broke out, I invited a family business from Bethlehem to come here to Our Lady of Fatima to sell olive wood carvings. And I hope that some of you will be able to go to the social hall, and if you don't buy, even look at the beauty of the craftsmanship and the depictions of some of the wonderful scenes from our faith. I did notice that those which are more ornate, some of them are inlaid with mother of pearl and abalone shell. And that strikes me today because of the mention of pearls in today's gospel. They are precious and expensive, as Jesus talks about in the gospel, a product of great monetary value. What I find fascinating about natural pearls is how they are formed. I learned in doing a little bit of research that it's a common myth, one that I myself believed, that grains of sand in an oyster shell are what causes a pearl to start forming naturally. In fact, oysters are typically quite capable of expelling grains of sand that get into their shells. So while it's a little gross, the truth is that most naturally occurring pearls are formed around a parasite, some sort of sea worm or bug that invades the oyster, grabs on, and cannot be expelled. So the oyster, irritated by this intruder, forms a pearl sac of external mantle tissue cells and secretes calcium carbonate to cover the irritant. This secretion process is repeated many times and eventually produces a pearl. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a pearl of great price, found by a merchant who sells everything he has in order to buy this pearl of great price. I'd like to come back to this image of the pearl because it has other layers of implication. But let's take a look at that first reading. In a dream, and I love dreams in the scriptures because they are abundant, Solomon, the son of the great King David, has a dream. And in it, God asks him for anything that he wants, and it will be given to him. So that's something that we human beings often reflect on. What is it that if God could give us anything our hearts desire, we would ask for? A healthy family? Safety from all harm? A bigger home, perhaps? Reconciliation with a family member? The end of a coronavirus? Bringing a loved one back to life from death? Or a longer life for ourselves? With the Lord God, anything is possible when he asks us, just like he offered to Solomon, to fulfill our heart's desire. But the striking and shocking thing is that Solomon wants none of these things. He's a young man, and he knows that he has a great responsibility in ruling the people of Israel. He asks God for an understanding heart to judge right from wrong, an understanding heart more commonly known as the wisdom of Solomon. And this is what God praises in this young king, because Solomon asks for a gift to help other people, not to build up himself. He asks for wisdom from the heart. And it seems to me that it is something that I need to ask for every day. Wisdom of heart is the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, between what is eternally true and what is only temporary. It is the ability to see the big picture, the whole of life, and understand what is of utmost importance. It is like a treasure of great value that God hides in human hearts. And I think that this great wisdom is contained in a sentence from the second reading that Paul writes to the Corinthians. We know that all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Often our spiritual task is not just to know what Paul is saying up here in our heads, but to be able to feel it and experience it with our very being. And most often, this movement from head to heart knowledge comes through difficult life experiences. I'd like to share with you an experience that I read from a man who lives in Portugal. He said, "Our third child was born with Down syndrome, and I considered this cruelty of nature as a punishment for my multiple marital infidelities. I was ashamed to go around with my child, and I carried so many unanswered questions inside me. But as this child grew up, I started to discover beautiful goodness and continual peace in this child. I cannot explain the relationship between this and my problematic faith, but slowly I acquired other eyes, and I would say another heart, too. The relationship in my family changed as well. Strangely enough, I began to believe my child's condition as a gift. I have no more problems about faith and dogmas. Everything is God's grace. And behind the veil of misunderstanding, there is innocent and pure truth." So something that any one of us can consider bad or irritating, with the viewpoint and wisdom of God, works for our greater good. In this case, the father of the child with Down syndrome grew in grace and virtue, and it spread throughout his whole family. And so it is, I believe, with that image of the pearl that Jesus gives us. From something that is an irritant, originally turns into a precious pearl. Our neighbor or another family member can irritate us, but it can be that very one who becomes a fine pearl that is our passport into eternal life, into the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus calls it. So for me, another way of expressing this wisdom of Solomon is the wisdom of the cross. Solomon, we can say, is a precursor to show us that the embodied wisdom of God is one who lays down his life in love. There's always a bigger picture for us. So remember that the story does not end with the irritant. So if you are fearful or frustrated about someone or something, ask God to give you an understanding or at least a patient heart so that in the fullness of time, you will experience that all things, even what you consider bad, are working together for the good.